Part of what gets the authorities riled up in wild opposition to Jesus is this talk about the temple's destruction. For them, the temple is not so much a place of sacrificial worship as it is the center of commerce and business. It's the economic engine of its time. So talking about its destruction would be like talking about destroying Wall Street. And this isn't going to fly with them. And they need to stop that talk and silence the man who keeps saying things like that. You can understand what this threat means to them. Instead of the temple sanctifying the city has desecrated the temple. If those detractors had been asked what religion was theirs, an honest answer would have been profit or power. The most cynical and honest might have said none, which is what we hear from a lot of people these days when asked what religion they have. It's either profit, power, or none. What they didn't seem to understand is that sometimes, and sometimes we don't either, is that Jesus is talking about his body, not some architectural wonder. And Jesus is teaching us that God's presence cannot be captured in buildings. The incarnation, our fundamental belief that God has taken on human flesh, is the reality here. The body of Christ is the dwelling place of God, not the temple. And in these verses of John's Gospel, Jesus is telling anyone who will listen that they can destroy his body, but it's going to rise again. There's plenty of evidence that what this gospel proclaims with the words of Jesus is still not being understood or accepted. My friends, what makes this church holy is the people who assemble here. This place is holy because of us, not because of the tabernacle, the statue, or the windows. It's you and me, the body of Christ. The Holy Eucharist in this tabernacle could not be there were it not that we have assembled here. You get the sequence of things? There's no body of Christ there if the body of Christ here doesn't assemble for Mass. Sharing the Eucharist in Holy Communion makes us one in the body of Christ. We become what we eat. My friends, this whole wonder of the incarnation is that God's dwelling place is first of all, and perhaps best of all, found and honored in human life. There's a real presence in human life, just as a real presence in any temple, in any building or man-made object. This gospel invites and challenges us today to examine just how we decide what is sacred and what is profane. It profoundly disturbs me that it is a felony to deface a church, and people will get in an uproar every time one is vandalized. But there's hardly a whisper or a concern when one of God's people dies of hunger or is homeless, living in a car or a tent. Huh? Incarnation. My friends, the very rock of our foundation in our faith is the incarnation. God's desire to live, to love, and to be revealed in human flesh and blood. God speaks to us with the very human voice of Jesus Christ when we are gathered here. We must listen and learn because we can be the face and the merciful hand of God to anyone who's looking for God. This Lenten season calls us to repent and change how we think and how we see things and how we treat one another. This third week of Lent offers a chance to check carefully how well our behavior reveals our beliefs.